What a day to talk about this topic. What a day. Today has a name that is very well known and identified throughout the world. And the event that we are celebrating is very popular, not because of television or cable TV. It's not because of the teams that have been working out all this season and they've had to struggle and battle in the field and achieve their own division championships, we may say. It's not because of the personalities or because of the fame. This is a well-known and popular day throughout the world because of a person. Today, we celebrate Transfiguration Day. Note that I did make allusions to Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, I did. And even though I alluded to it, the reason that we are talking about this is because there's really no comparison. No comparison whatsoever. What number Super Bowl is it? 50, right? Well, Jesus came about 2,000 plus years ago. This event that we celebrate today is 2,000 plus years. No comparison. No comparison.
That's right.
Now, we must know that millions of people throughout the world have recognized this event and have celebrated this event just as we are doing today. Now, this event is packed with mystery. Remember that the one who said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Remember that? Now, it's displaying something that has puzzled the world since. The reason being is because of how strange it is. For us human beings, it cannot be overstated that this event is evidence of the Spirit of God acting upon the man we call Jesus Christ. You see, Luke, as he is trying to inform us of this man, he writes about Jesus' uniqueness and how he displays that throughout his walk in this world. He preaches Jesus while there's women around him. We see that in this previous chapter to chapter 9. Now, when I say he preaches and he teaches while there are women around him, you must know that that was not the normal thing those days. Because women were not necessarily allowed to hear teachers. They were supposed to be at home cooking. Right, Judith? Okay. I'm glad you're here, honey. But you see, it's not normal. I mean, for us today, it's like, okay, right? Because we have everybody here. But at the time, that was revolutionary. There were women following him and hearing his teachings. Now, he also teaches parables, a parable of the sower. And he teaches these parables and he responds to a question of the disciples. And he says, "To you are given to know the secrets of the kingdom." Imagine that. To a group of very simple men and women, accompanying Jesus are given to know the secrets. Now, it's not like the secrets today, right? Today you see in the internet 10 secrets to conquer weight loss or whatever, right? They are no secrets. They're all over the place, everybody knows them. But the kingdom of God was very mysterious, and it was being presented to these folks. And it really astounded them. He even establishes that his mom and his brothers are not as important as those who hear the words coming from his mouth and did them. Now, in a society where family was everything, where family was where you had all the strength and favor and stability, to deny your family in favor of others was not normal. But here we have a man that does exactly that. We have a man who calms the storm. Have any of you done that? Anybody? He cures a person who was being troubled by a demon. He restores the life of a girl. Heals a woman. I mean, I don't know if you start getting the story, right? But this is the Jesus that Luke is presenting to us. Why? Why would he do that? Why do you think that Jesus is presented by Luke in this light? Well, the answer is simple. Because Jesus is different. He's not like the others. Any of you remember Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other, right? I mean, in comparison, there's no comparison. There were many who claimed to be messiahs. None like Jesus. Many who claimed that they were going to overthrow the Roman domination, the government. But Jesus is the one who came to fulfill Isaiah's prophecies. And when Jesus claims that he is the one who is going to realize that prophecy, he was not like the politicos of today, right? I will do whenever I'm president. Now you heard that many times, right? But Jesus actually did. He proved to be a straight shooter. He provided data, evidence for his uniqueness. Now, anybody remember the movie Divergent? Yes. All right. Anyone? For those who don't know about the movie is a sci-fi movie which talked about an apocalypse society in Chicago. The setting was in Chicago after an apocalypse, right? And this society is divided in five different factions. And the factions were based on personality traits. There were the selfless, there were the peaceful, the honest, the intellectuals, and the brave. They have different names in the movie. But those personality traits are the ones that people were attracted to, and they selected that group. Now, the rest of the population who did not fit into that were called factionless. So there was even a category who those who didn't fit the categories. Now, the factionless today could be considered the simple the ones who lack a will, the ones who can't help themselves, those who have no status or privilege in society. Maybe you could call them the mentally ill, the poor, the homeless. And those were served by the selfless, right? Those who abandon themselves to provide for others. Now, it's interesting the fact that there are those who do not fit any of those categories, and of course they are called divergent. Thus the name. So if you're not one of the five or the factionless, you're divergent. And being divergent meant that you have traits from these different groups. So you identified with many of the others, and it was hard for you to choose a group. Your personality, the way that you were built, would be able to fit in different ones. And those were a danger to society. Why? Why would they be a danger to society? Well, because they didn't fit the mold. And they could actually be a threat to those in power. Now in the movie, the divergent are conflicted. The divergent are pulled in different ways. They have trouble with identity. And you and I know that the last week we've been talking about identity. Because of having a combination of traits, that meant that it was hard for them to fit in a group or another. And they, inside, they had trouble. They were torn between all these factions. You see, we could call Jesus divergent, but I believe that Jesus was beyond divergent. See, because Jesus could identify himself with all of the factions, even with the factionless. But he stands himself in his uniqueness. When Jesus takes Peter and John and James to the mountain to pray, he had already sent these disciples out to do a mission impossible. He told them, go out and don't take anything with you. Anybody that's going on a trip, right, knows that you better be prepared. Well, Jesus says, don't take anything. And feed yourself for the goodness of the people. Stay with whoever opens the door. And that was weird. Because you and I know that that is unsettling, isn't it? If I sent all of you to go to the corner of Colfax and Sheridan, right over here, one block over, to speak the word of Christ, how would you feel? And then I tell you, do not take any tracts. Don't even take your Bible. How would you feel? You see, in a way, that's how the disciples felt as they were sent. But he sends them anyway. On top of that, we see Jesus confusing everybody. Herod, the tetrarch, he was perplexed. Because some people were saying that Jesus was John the Baptist. And Herod was saying, well, wait a minute, I already killed him. What's going on here, right? He's done for. How come he's back? No. That's not him. And others were saying that Jesus was Elijah. And Herod, even the government was confused. By then, Jesus had fed 5,000 with just a basket of bread and fish. Incredible. By then, Jesus had told his disciples about his death and his resurrection. And his disciples didn't understand. And how could they understand? You see, Jesus was a unique individual. He wasn't divergent. He was, and he is, in a league of his own. He is God. And when Jesus suddenly transforms, changes in front of the disciples, his clothing and his face's appearance changing. And then the two MVPs show up. You know who the MVPs are, right? Right? There's Moses, right? Talk about a Hall of Fame. Right? And there's Elijah. Hall of Famer. Voted immediately. You didn't have even to wait. You see, there's something beyond special when these three disciples are witnessing this. They are seeing not just Jesus, a man. They are seeing the one that was there during creation. The one that is conversing with Moses and Elijah as if they were buddies. As if they had played on the same team. You see, and Peter still doesn't get it. You've been studying about Peter, right? During the Sunday school. And you know about his roughness. You know about his impulsiveness by now, right? He does, and then he thinks. Right? He does, and they're like, oh, you know. You know about his fears, and you know perhaps a little bit about his loyalty. You see, what ails Peter is what ails us. There's lack of perspective. Helps us with our lack of understanding. You see, we do not see things with the perspective of eternity. Because of how selfish we are. Peter says, man, let's stay right here. Let's build a little house for you. Let's build a little house for Moses, a little house for Elijah, and we'll just sit here. And just be here in the middle of this amazing moment. But Dad, knowing better, injects himself into the scene through a cloud, right? Stopping Peter right on his tracks, and again saying, this one that is here is my son. And he states his role. He says, he is the anointed one. In other words, God is saying to them, Jesus, my son, is not just for your welfare. Jesus is not just so that you can feel good. Jesus comes with a message, and hey, come on, people, listen to him. God's intention wasn't that he was going to be there for them throughout their lives. He was going to teach them how to live their lives. Now, Jesus has revealed himself to you and to me. He has done it through scripture. He has done it through experience. The question I have for you is, are you listening? Are you listening? You see, we know about his deeds. Everybody in this place knows about something that Jesus has done, right? Right? I mean, you've heard it somehow. Whether you've read it and studied it, or you've heard it about him, you and I know something about this Jesus. Even if just a little detail, you and I know that there's something different about him. We already know about him. The question is, are we listening? Are we paying attention? See, we're going to start a discipleship class here soon. It's called The Big Picture. The Bible in its entirety. How is it? What is it about? So that we can learn about how to read the Bible. Hopefully. So that we can learn how to read it. So that we can learn how to listen. You see, because God has spoken through history. And he has reached out to you. And to me. Through scripture. Are we listening? Super Bowl Sunday got nothing on Jesus. And believe me, I wore as close as orange as I could. Now you know that we're heading into the Lent season, right?
Yes.
Starting this Wednesday and Ash Wednesday, and I would like to invite you to come to that service at 6:30. Perhaps it's a good way to start to learn to listen. Not only to know. Hello, are you with me? Because we got Christians full of knowledge everywhere, but nothing happens. For those who think that they are listeners, perhaps it's time to go deeper. There is more for us. There is more for you. There is a fountain of wealth, of knowledge, and of good coming out of this man's mouth. If you've ever listened, then now is the time to open your heart. Maybe you like to listen to the voice of the Master. Maybe you like to know about him. Maybe you like to come to an awareness of what it all means. If that is the case, come. Come and pray today. Come and acknowledge the difference, the uniqueness of this Jesus Christ. And take it in. Let him in. And I'll tell you, today he will speak to you. If you open your heart, he will talk. And you'll see how special he really is. And that's a witness coming from the pulpit. He is special. I would like for us to pray. And as we pray, maybe we can synchronize, tune in. Is it ABC, CBS, NBC? Who's transmitting? Fox? Who's transmitting the Super Bowl? I don't even know. Everybody knows, right? Channel 4, man, is coming through this lane. I'm hearing, I'm on it. Do you know what channel Jesus is coming through in? Let's pray. God bless us. I pray, God, that you bless us with an attentive heart. That our little antennas in our minds and our brains and our soul may be pointed towards you. That our internet connection and our cable connections are plugged into you. So that we can hear your heart. So that we may be able to inundate our thoughts with your love, with your light. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.